And as mentioned earlier in the show, because of the budget speech implications, we thought we'd bring in an expert to unpack the mystery that is financial talk when the ministers get together and launch a whole bunch of stuff. And you watch this possibly, or you don't because you couldn't care less, or you just don't like to be confused by words that you don't understand, so you obviously ignore it. But I think it's important to understand what the words that are being bandied about mean to you and to life in South Africa in general. And that's why a very auspicious guest in the studio, Devon Shute from the Robert Group, has come to join us again to unpack exactly what the budget implications are to you. Good morning, Devon. Lovely to have you in the show.
Good morning. Great to be here again.
So, I sort of scanned it and I couldn't see any major flashing lights, but I'm sure that there are a few areas that one needs to be aware of.
Definitely. So I think if I had to kind of sum up the theme of the budget, I think the finance minister did a respectable job. I think things are starting to move in the right direction, but you know, we as South Africans know the massive problems we face, and this budget really tried to strike that balancing act between helping the consumer, which is really struggling, and you know, trying to get jobs growing, which is a really big issue in our country, and then managing the huge expenditure pressure that they have. And so the budget did a fair job of that, and I think there was a lot of relief for consumers, you know, you and I in the street, that is worth unpacking and saying, what will it mean to our pockets?
Mm. Well, let's launch straight into that, because of course everyone wants to know, what does it mean for me?
Yeah. Well, so one good thing, I mean, I guess it's a it's not a negative to use the double, but we didn't get any increases in the fuel levy and the road accident fund. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone who's filled their car up recently will know just how important that is, and it's the first time government hasn't increased that or added a tax onto that since 1990. So that was big.
I think there might be a considerable amount of blowback, because it's become patently obvious that the fuel price is way out of kilter in terms of inflation and in terms of affordability, and that there's a huge awareness as to how much of that fuel price is made up in taxes and excise to the government.
Completely.
I think if they pushed it any further than that, there would be a popular outcry.
I agree 100%. And the thing is, so there's that realization. So there was the logic prevailed there. I mean, oil price now breached $100 this morning with Russia and the invasion of the Ukraine. So we've got external things that are out of our control. The taxes on it are very much within it. So they did the right thing there. So that was good news.
Just touching on that, did you come across in the financial papers recently a report indicating that the increased oil price, which although artificially inflated at the moment, may well settle at around $60 a barrel, and that is going to be extraordinarily good for Africa and Southern Africa, South Africa in particular, because there's lots of exploration that was put on hold during the pandemic's lockdown era. That will now be reconstituted, reinvigorated, and the return on that is going to be spectacular.
Mm. So look, I mean, there's an old saying that the cure for high prices is high prices, and at $100 oil, almost every producer, whether it's the frackers in North America or you know the guys in Africa pulling it out the ground, are massively profitable. So what you will see, as you correctly said, this is probably a short-term phenomenon, more supply coming on and will eventually drive the price down. Doesn't help when you have to go to the pump and fill your car up, and you know it's physically painful. But yeah, at least it wasn't exacerbated, to your point, by having an additional fuel levy on top of that.
Yeah.
Just a quick question. From an economical perspective, do you think oil explorations would be beneficial to us?
You mean if we were doing them ourselves?
Well, I mean if we were allowing them and they were not really facing so much backlash.
Yeah, look, I mean, the reality is that the world needs fuel, and fossil fuel is still, by and large, the bulk of that. The transition to green energy is important, but it also comes at a massive cost at the moment. So again, you've got that balancing act of having to fuel the world economy and looking for more sustainable sources of energy. So I think it's both. I don't think you can have an either or. We're not, unfortunately, in that position yet. Mm. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Moving along, there were rumors a while back, and we've touched on them on the show, that there was going to be in an investigation into the realm of an exit tax for those that were planning to take their marbles and run.
Mm.
Any news on that one in the budget speech?
No, they've kicked the can down the road a bit there. That's incredibly complex. I think it was in almost counterintuitive to some of the double taxation treaties they have with other countries. So they've gone back to the drawing board. They are looking at it, and unfortunately for those people that will affect. But, you know, my sense generally with regulators in general is you can't get hot and bothered about the talk. When you see it promulgated, when you see it in writing, when you see it moving through Parliament, then it's time to start acting. To guess what they're going to do is very difficult, and it's more stress than it's worth.
So at the moment, that's a bit of a false flag. Yeah. One area that did appear to be interesting was that if you are a person of wealth,
mm-hmm.
the budget was not necessarily on your side this time.
Yes, so you're alluding to there that, you know, people with incredibly large amounts of assets, 50 million or more, they are now going to have to report even more. There's more administration on the market value of the assets that they own. I had a problem with this because I feel, you know, those people are already complying and, you know, they're the good guys. They're paying a huge amount of the tax and you're just making life harder for them. Whereas there's so many people who intentionally are outside our tax net. And those we need to go to. So, you know, the SARS Commissioner did come on and say they're beefing up their investigation and audit capacity. And part of the extra tax we collected in this budget, and it was a huge extra amount of tax, and we can go into that, was due to SARS doing its job better after the years of being hollowed out as an institution. So that was a big tick. You know, everyone paid their fair share. Mm-hmm. But it did feel like the ultra-high net worths, you're just making their life harder, and I'm not sure that was the right approach.
Yeah. Sure. Apparently, the lesson learned, I think, from previous budget allocations in the past is that you can't really raise more taxes by imposing taxation on people's habits because they just change their habits.
That's right.
Or their patterns of spend, and it's counterproductive in that sense. So they appear to have, the fiscus appears to have taken that on board and looked at more sustainable methods of taxation. On the whole, were you? I see that South Africa's growth is predicted to be at 2.1% this year.
Hmm.
Is that in keeping with what you have been reading in terms of the budget speech?
Yeah, it's in line with what we expect. In fact, they brought it down a little bit, but it's just too low. I mean, you know, over 3 years, they're expecting an average under 2%. And this country, with our population growing between 1% and 2% a year, we have to grow at 4% plus if we're going to make any meaningful impact on unemployment and growth. But below that's just not enough. And I think if I had to be critical of this budget, one of the areas we didn't hear from is any real job and growth strategies and plans coming out from it. You know, we balanced the books well. We got some extra money in. We're allocating it well. We're bringing down the debt. That's all good. But how do we get that growth going? And I think that's a key point you've raised. And the structural reforms that we hear about a lot really need to, in practice, start to happen so we can get our people working again.
Do you think that message has been taken on board by government?
I think to a degree. You know, government's talking more and more about creating an environment for businesses to really take the lead and employ, and I think that's correct. The problem is that their regulatory framework is often just so contradictory and so onerous and so full of red tape that it prohibits that. So I think the intent is there, but the application is not where it should be.
Interesting. So we sit again in a kind of at a crossroads, not 100% certain of what the future, well, we never know what the future holds. At the moment, it looks like we are bouncing back from the COVID drama.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a massive conflagration of hostilities in Europe at the moment that's going to definitely have impact on us in this southern part of the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
What the impact is going to be, well, that remains to be seen. But we have to, however, I remain cautiously optimistic. And if you have financial matters to discuss with good financial planners, well, here is a man who seems to know a lot more about these things than the average. Yeah. So, Devon, once again, thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Show. For those that are keen to engage with you, how do we reach you?
Yeah, they can just get a hold of us through the website, Robert Group, that's Robert Group is how it's spelt, .co.za. We're in Umhlanga, Yeah, we'd like to meet you guys.
And there it is, Devon Shute from the Robert Group. You heard him on The Morning Show on Radio Life and Style. The Morning Show continues with this. It's the Moody Blues, and very appropriate after the budget unpacking. It's called Isn't Life Strange?
It is.